to listen to you, listen to the scripture, listen to the blessing of being here, and also the teaching that you have for us. I hope and I declare in the name of Jesus Christ that the Holy Spirit will continue touching our hearts and continue converting us or transforming us to be the way that you want us to be. We ask you, Lord, with a humble heart, to please continue talking you talking to the church, not me. I don't want to talk. I just want to be the vessel and continue also blessing my heart and my life as a human being that I am, but I'm a believer of you, that I trust and have the confidence in you. Thank you for this church. Thank you for everyone here. And thank you for the people that they are not here, but we declare blessing and healing over them in the name of Jesus Christ. We also bless the people that they are just out of town, taking some time off, and we bless them in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you also for this town of Elburn, and we declare blessings, transformation, your glory, God, over them in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, God. Once again, thank you. Be you speaking to the church. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, so today we're going to continue talking about the third candle, which is joy. We're going to talk about joy and just going over a little bit of the Advent definition again. It means coming. So we already learned about the hope, the first one. Now today we are talking about joy because that hope, that blessing, that peace, which is the second one, and now the joy, the third one, is coming in our life, which is the representation also of Jesus Christ. He's providing that to us. But today I want to share with you guys 2 points inside of this sermon because during this week God talked to me and spoke to my life, and I hope that the way that he spoke to me and he teach me, also that will be a blessing for you guys. So going through the scripture, Isaiah 9:6, it says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Using this scripture as a reference of what it was going to come in our life, and why we were waiting for, what was the hope that we had, and he already came, and now we're waiting for the second coming. Praise and hallelujah to that one. Right now for this one, which is the joy that he's bringing to our life, how we can learn about joy when we're going through all these different situations and circumstances in our life, when it's always difficult. And to understand this, I want to just share some definitions from the word of joy, which it means feeling of complacency. Is that the right word? And complacency. Thank you. Appreciate it. That's the first point that I want to share with you guys today. Because when you feel in that pleasure, it's other definition, in the possession of memory or the possession of all this stuff, we kind of go through the path of the world sometimes, and we think like, oh, that pleasure of that complacency, I don't know, sorry about that one. Hopefully you understand me. And we tend to just go by the world things. And what God wants us to understand is that those desires that we have to make sure that it's going to be according to the desires of God also. So that way we are in compliance with his will, and then the will of God will be, or the purpose of God in our life, it will be fulfilled. So we just need to understand what is our joy. Because, again, sometimes we think that joy is that we are meeting our own targets, our own goals here on the earth. Or maybe seeing what we really want to see, not maybe what God wants us to see. So we have to just be careful in learning more about it, because this feeling, it will get confuse us, so that way we can go to the wrong path. Or maybe feeling that joy, but that joy is going to be just a temporary joy. It's not the really joy from God. And I hope, again, that this is going to be a great blessing to continue learning more about it. The word joy is a term that comes from the Latin word gaudium, and refers to the joy of the spirit, of the feeling, that pleasure in possessing or remembering something desirable. Therefore, to enjoy is associated with enjoying and with any action that generates happiness for the subject. For example, when you and I say, I enjoy when I see my son smile. You enjoy that. We enjoy that, right? But again, the joy that you are feeling, it is a joy that is in accordance to God, or is a joy that is just yours? Because the joy of God is eternal, is forever. That one is going to last forever. Maybe the joy that you and I have here on the earth is just going to be temporary. It's going to vanish at some point. And we're going to die. We're going to pass at some point. So sometimes it's just temporarily. Sometimes it's just until we die. But the joy of the Lord is going to be complete and fulfill all his purpose in our life. And I want to continue sharing with you guys some blessing of this, because I believe that it's going to continue growing us. And I like to go to John 15. Let's go to the Bible. Let's go to John 15, 9. And learn more about what is the meaning of that joy. About what is the joy of the Lord. What is the joy of God, of Jesus Christ. Because we were waiting for that, and now he already came, and he bring that joy. Now, how we can understand this more? John 15, 9 through 17. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I choose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. Here we go again. Right? God keeps talking about the same topic. But if you go to that specific verse 11, I have told you this, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. There's two different joys over here. The joy of Jesus Christ and your joy. And that's the point that I want to just share with you guys. Because what is the pleasure that you're feeling, that desire that you have and that I have? Because Jesus Christ is saying, I'm telling you these things, love each other, so that way my joy, Jesus Christ, joy, will be fulfilling you. That way your joy, my joy here on the earth, it will be complete. So in other words, our joy, it might be not complete without Jesus Christ's joy. That makes sense? We need the joy of Jesus Christ. If we have that joy, then our joy, it will be complete. How we can get that? Loving each other. Simple as that. Difficult in the flesh? Yes. But how we can make that happen? All depending on you and me. We have to make that position, that decision and move forward on that. We have to love each other. We need to learn how to love each other so that way we can be in fulfillment of that commandment, and that way I can get the joy of Jesus Christ in my life. And that means my joy will be complete. That's what the scripture says, right? Let's go to John 16:24. John 16:24 It says over here, until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Now, Jesus Christ is telling us, ask in my name. Now, if it's according to God's will, what you're asking for, your joy will be complete. Not, I want the Ferrari. I want the Lamborghini. Maybe that's not God's will for you, right? And that's what you desire here on the earth. You want the best car of the world. Of maybe, I don't know, the biggest house. I don't know whatever is your desire on the flesh here. But maybe you're asking God in a wrong way. But if you are asking God through the scripture in the name of Jesus Christ, then your joy will be complete. Simple as that. Because sometimes we are just asking for our desires here, not his desires. He keeps talking about the same thing. God's desire is to love each other. Let's start praying for that. Let's start asking for that. God, help me to love each other, to love my neighbor, to love my coworker, to love my brother and sister in Christ. In my flesh is difficult. In my flesh is it's really hard to manage these emotions and control these mind thoughts and everything going on. Help me. I think that's his will. They say, okay, I'm going to help you. The Holy Spirit is here. Help him. Because he's asking to restore that relationship between them. And God will orchestrate anything that he needs to orchestrate so that way you can love each other. In the name of Jesus Christ. And your joy will be complete. Luke 15. In Luke 15, I'm not going over that complete, but you guys know here that in Luke 15, Jesus Christ shared three different parables over here. We can see the shrewd manager, rich man, and Lazarus. We can see additional teachings from him. We can see different stories. And when he's talking about this parable, is to bring that joy to the disciples. That is everything according to the will of God. This teaching that he's doing is the same teaching that you and I have already here in the scripture. And this parable that he was sharing, he was just trying to bring that purpose and will of God to the hearts of everyone, which is what we're supposed to get. The will and purpose of God in our hearts, so that way we can walk on that. If we can walk on that, then we are aligned with his joy. That way my joy will be complete. Now, I want to bring Nehemiah 8:10. Sorry. It's going to be too much different words today for me, so help me here. Okay, 8:10. What it says? Nehemiah, say, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord, not yours, not mine, is your strength. Let's go back to that. Because the definition of a strength, it means fortified place or defense. Building a fortified place. Do you want to be protected? Do you want to be covered? We need the joy of the Lord. Not yours, not mine. His joy. We already talked about what is his joy. Love each other. Follow my commands. Two simple ones that I left. And you will be some protection in your life. 45 places. That's why he had that revelation and says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. That strength is the one that you and I need. that protection. And in order to get that protection, we just need to get His joy. What is your joy? Fulfill my commands. Love each other. When we get that, we will be protected. We will be covered. 1 Peter 1:8. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you and receiving the end results of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The joy of God is also the salvation. We have that. We will wait at that moment, the Advent, which is the coming of Jesus Christ, the first one, bring that joy of salvation. And that joy of salvation, it means, what else are we going to get? Forget about the Lambo and the Ferrari. We got salvation. That's the most important thing. Because everything in our life depends on that salvation. And we are saved through Jesus Christ. That's our joy. And anything that will happen, it will be manifesting in our life. It will be depending on that joy that you feel from your salvation. Now you are already saved through Jesus Christ. You're supposed to have joy. Just continue walking, believing in that. And everything will be fine. Yes, it's difficult because we're living here. But we can do it. It can be manageable. We can make that happen. So in Psalm 16, I want to share with you guys Psalm 16. We can also share over here some scripture that will share some revelation of joy. Psalm 16, it shares a lot of good information about the joy of the Lord. It says, keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good things. I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. Nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. His eternal pleasures, not yours or mine. Living, believing in him, trusting in him all the time. And that will bring the joy that we need. So that way we can be fulfilling that joy or complete that joy that we need in our life. Now, something that I learned when I was reading this scripture is the joy of God is kind of a little bit different or backwards in our understanding here on the earth. Normally, when we have a birth, that's joy, right? At the beginning, the woman, and then you have the baby. Wow, that's nice. Happiness, joy. We really are happy of that moment and really enjoyable. And then, what happened after that? Come on, let's be honest. Right? Yeah. Now everything changed. Now it's not maybe too enjoyable. Right? So the same concept with other things in life. I was looking for that job. I get to the interview. Wow, I'm excited. I'm happy. Maybe 1 week after, 2 weeks after, 1 month, 1 year, whatever it is, then you say, I don't know, man, this work is too much, or whatever is happening this work. Now the joy is not there anymore, right? There's a lot of things in our life that happen that way. Now with God, it's kind of a little bit different. Because his joy is kind of like going through some persecutions, situations, circumstances, and then the joy of the Lord is coming after that. That's why we have the celebration of the tabernacles. Because he did that at the end of the year, Hebrew calendar year, right? He did that at the end because that's the moment of joy. That's the moment of the Jewish people celebrate when they get out of Egypt. And then God says to them, go and celebrate. So they have of a week of celebration. Like always, you start with some sanctification in 1 or 2 days, and then you go and celebrate. And this celebration, it is building some houses. They call it Sukkot. That's why it's also called like the Feast of Sukkot, because you're building those houses, and then you go in those houses, inside of that small houses, and celebrate with your family. You go over there, you eat, sleep, and celebrate. One of the requirements over there is that you have to put some palms leaves over that, and then you can see through that the sky, so that way you can just remembering from where God took you, from that moment that you were in Egypt and he took you out of there, so that way you can be free and safe. So that's one of the purpose of that. So celebration is coming after. So that's the reason of why God is doing this celebration after, because his joy is going to be totally different from what we are learning in the world, which is first joy and then kind of the joy is already gone. With him is that we are having that continuation of hope and believing, trust and faith that we will reach that salvation. That we have the salvation, but we will reach that with Jesus Christ at the end of the second coming. So Psalm 51:10 says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Again, the joy of the salvation is the one that is going to be keeping us up. It's keeping us over here. It's keeping us maintaining that relationship with God. And you can see here that David, he already experienced that joy, and then it kind of fade away, because the sin that he was committing in that moment. But then now he lost that. He felt that joy being removed of his life. And he's asking, please restore me that joy, because that joy was so good. It was so fulfilled to me. It would complete me. So restore my salvation so that way I can get that joy back. Because that one, it will be sustaining me forever and ever. Now, what I want to also share with you guys, the second point that I want to share with you guys today is silence. Oh, yeah. I see faces now like, I don't want to be silent. Yeah. And this is something that God ministered in my life this week. Like always, through different persons, different ways. And I say, okay, this is it. You want to talk about this also? Let's do it. But also he's talking to my life about something that is going on to me. So silence, what does that mean? To observe quietly. It doesn't just mean like, don't say anything, don't open your mouth. It's like, observe. Sometimes we are missing because we have blind spots. And those blind spots, we just need to move and observe just to make sure. We need to learn how to observe quietly what is going on around us. Silence is also meaning to examine. We have to examine what is going on. What is going on in our life? What is going on around us? It means to inquire, investigate. It means also to be carefully, diligently checking out what's going on. That means silence. Sometimes silence is God's way of helping us to listen better. And you can see that in Malachi, the prophet, we know this, there was a silence between that and the Gospels. And I mean silence of God because God didn't talk through any prophet in that time. Some people says 400 years, some other people says 500 years, without God saying anything through the prophets. So it was a silence of God. Now, during those times is where the Sadducees and Pharisees born. During those times, Israel went out of Babylon. During that time, Greece and also Rome, the Romans conquered the Israel people or the Hebrews people. So a lot of things happened in that time. But it was because the people of the Israelites, they decide to go different paths, also breaking the law, also because they just want to do whatever they want, not what God left them to do. They already have the scripture. They already have the Old Testament. They already know what to do. And now God, silence. He didn't say anything. And that's the same thing that you and I are going through in our daily life. Sometimes you don't see any movement from God. Sometimes you and I, we don't see any, or we don't listen or hearing anything from God. But He's working. He's doing something for you. You will know at the end. I know. At least I have that experience. And there's so many scriptures here in the Bible that I like to share with you guys about that, that it helped me to give me some air to continue walking. I need to move from here or from where. So when the prophet Malachi finished his writing, he expressed something prophetic from God. And then when he shared that prophecy, he left that one. Now, it was the responsibility of the Israelites to continue walking through that prophecy. The same thing for you and me. We already know what God is telling to us, what to do. Now he's going to be silenced and say, be a doer. Apply it. This is not just coming to the church and listening and say, I'm the best Christian of the world. Yay, let's go. No, we have to apply it. We have to do what he says over here so that way we can say that we are really Christians. And that's what happened with the Israelites. And then the coming of Jesus Christ. So the Israelites were waiting another Jesus Christ. In that moment, God was orchestrating everything for that coming of Jesus Christ in our life. Let's go to the scripture. Deuteronomy 27:9. Then Moses and the Levitical priest say to all of Israel, be silent, Israel, and listen. You have now become the people of the Lord your God. Obey the Lord your God and follow his commands and decrees that I give you today. Be silent. Don't make any sound. Just be silent. You already know what to do. No, but what's going on with these? We already know what to do. Let's just do it. Let's just follow and believe in that. And inside of that, there's four things that I think that we can learn from this to be silent. Number one, we might be receiving or doing a test of our faith. Maybe. Because the faith is born in an environment of uncertainty. Otherwise, it's not faith. Right? The same thing that we already talked about patience. It's not just a powder magic that we say, I have faith. I can believe in this and that. Prove it when uncertainty is going through your life. That's when the faith will born, raise or rise out of there. When those uncertainties going through your life, that you say, God, I'm not hearing you. I'm not seeing you. What's going on? Faith. Because he already talked to you. He already talked to us, to our life. So we have to trust on that word, which is the second one. He already left the word. The word, it is written. It's here. We have it. So maybe he say, I already talked to you. Do I have to be redundant? This is God talking, not me. Any question that you and I have is supposed to be here. Yes or no? Amen. So then why we keep asking? Why we want to every single day have, I wanna know that you're there. He's there all the time. The third one, it is not maybe the right time, because the time of God is perfect. So wait for that one. Be patient. The last one, sin is always make us deaf. We cannot listen or hear because the sin of our flesh. So we have to be careful with that. The sin will make that separation between you and God and me and God and Jesus Christ in that moment on the cross. Let me share some scripture with you guys. Psalm 37:7. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. Lamentations 3:25. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly. For the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. Let him sit alone in silence. For the Lord has laid it on him. Let him bury his face in the dust. There may yet be hope. And I'm going to leave you with these two scriptures from Jesus Christ here. Mark 4. Hallelujah. Mark 4. We're going through verse 35. We know this story. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. He already proclaimed something. He already said something. It's kind of a command. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and he waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet. Be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified, and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. He was sleeping during the storm. Oh, this is so nice. This is like a baby here, like moving. Because Jesus Christ was not seeing the storm. He was just seeing the joy. He already proclaimed a word. He already said, let's go to the other side. Don't worry about what's going to happen in the middle. Don't worry what's going to happen. Anything that is going to happen, it can be the storm, or it can be, I don't know, a tsunami. It can be anything. Don't worry about it. Let's go to the other side. But wait a second. It doesn't make sense because I'm seeing this right now. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying go to the other side. That's the only word that I told you. That's the only word that we have to follow and believe. And he was just sleeping. Silence. He was just over there. And the same thing you and I are facing in our daily life. We have storms happening in our life. And maybe Jesus Christ is just sleeping. Because he already told you, go to the other side. He already told you what to do. And he just wants us to continue believing in faith on that word and move forward. Pay attention. Jesus Christ, when he woke up, what he say? Quiet. Be still. To the storm. To the storm. Why the disciples try to wake him up? They were not expecting that. Because you can see that at the end of the verse. When they say, who is this guy? That even the winds and the storm just be still and calm down. That means they were not expecting that. They might be were expecting that Jesus Christ was going to protect them and cover them over the storm. That's not. Jesus Christ just showed them to talk to the storm and say, quiet, calm down. I already declare a word. Go to the other side. Believe and trust in that. The last one that I want to share with you guys is Matthew 15. Matthew 15:21. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Thank you. And it says, a Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly. Jesus did not answer a word. Silence. So his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The woman came and kneeled before him. Lord, help me, she said. He replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Wow. Yes, it is, Lord, she said. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus says to her, woman, you have a great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed at that moment. 23. Jesus did not answer a word. Silence. He just kept silence. He said, like, what? But the persistence of her believing and trusting in faith touch the heart and change the heart. Because faith will help you to move forward of what God already told you or spoke to you. Continue believing in that. Keep walking. And don't worry about the silence. He's always there. Jesus Christ, when he was on the cross, what did he say over there? Father, why you abandoned me? He felt the silence. He felt the separation. Why you are not here with me? When you learn the Hebrew words of the name Emmanuel, is God with us. So now we can see that God with us is over there on the cross. God with us. And God with us is saying, why you leave me? Why you abandon me, God? Wait a second, you are God with us. So God, it is with you. God is with us. It's just that at that moment with the scene, it's kind of like putting you in that deaf portion that we cannot listen at that moment. But he's with you. He's over there. He's just silent. But he's there. And he's working in something for your good, for your joy, so that way your joy can be complete. What is our responsibility? Just love each other. That's it. Simple as that. That's why Emmanuel shared that. God with us. He is with us. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time and opportunity. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your word. Thank you, God, for everything that you are continually doing. And thank you for your scripture. Thank you for the joy. Thank you for the moment that we are learning about your silence. Yes, here on the earth, in this body, it's kind of uncomfortable. But we are trusting and have the faith in you that you are going to continue helping us. That Emmanuel is with us. That you are with us. Anyway, it's kind of in a silent mode. We believe and trust that you are working something for our joy, for our good. Thank you for that. We believe and trust in your word. We believe and trust in the Holy Spirit, in Jesus Christ. And we believe and trust that you are going to continue blessing the church and all the needs that we have. We are on your hands. So we ask you, Lord, to continue protecting, covering, providing us in the name of Jesus Christ, helping us to love each other. Remove any plans of the enemy that is related to not being forgiven between us. Removing any plans of the enemy that is creating some disruption between us. No. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus Christ, and we declare that your love is with us, that we're going to continue learning and growing in unity and love each other. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for